thing to raise some funds for a good cause, but monks aren't allowed to sing. And there's a good reason for that, especially when they get to my age, the singing is terrible. So, what to do when you have somebody really wanting to be generous, but they're asking you to break a precept? So what can I do? So I think I should have been a lawyer, because I knew all the loopholes. So I asked her, I said, well, can I choose what I want to sing? And she said, well, okay. And I said, but give me the $10,000 check first of all to the nuns' monastery. So she handed it over, and I promised I would sing one of my favorite songs from when I was very young. A song made famous by Simon and Garfunkel. Do you remember Simon and Garfunkel? And the song was The Sound of Silence. So I was totally quiet for 3 minutes. And I said, there you go, that's The Sound of Silence. That's a Brahm style. So that way I could help the nuns' monastery at the same time keeping my precepts. So that's how sometimes there's always like ways and means of doing something very kind and very generous and serving and still being able to help others and also keeping your precepts. The whole idea of the precepts and virtue and coming together is in order to create a happier and better world. And sometimes there are precepts of what monks can do, what they can't do. We always make sure we never sort of do anything which creates a bad feeling or creates any suspicion of what the monks are up to or the nuns are up to. So we're very, very open. And I'm sure that there's very few people, very few religious people, whose bedroom is a tourist attraction, which is my cave over in Serpentine. In that cave, sometimes I've got to wait. I've had my lunch, and I've got to ask people, is my cave free now? Is my bedroom free? So, because people are going to visit it. But it's wonderful. They can see that you can live very happily, very peacefully, in a sort of simple dwelling, which is what we should always be trying to do. But it's amazing, even though you try and live in simplicity. I don't know why, but last night, Leha, was actually reminding me that I saw her brother over there at a big 30th anniversary event for the Buddhist Fellowship in Singapore. And there, at the Buddhist Fellowship in Singapore, a big dinner, and they even invited the president of Singapore, Madam Halima. She's a Muslim, but she had no hesitation of coming to a Buddhist event. Obviously a very prominent Muslim, the president of the Buddhist Fellowship, similar to our Governor General in Australia, the head of state, but no real political power except the power of influence and setting a good example. And very, very kind and lovely lady who I was sitting just very close to. And they, for their fundraising, oh, I said I was going to do this, but I think I've gone too far already. Please don't get ideas, fundraising committee of the Buddhist Society of Western Australia. But they got me to do Chinese calligraphy in front of everybody, videoed. And it was the symbol of enlightenment. And afterwards, yeah, I did make a few mistakes. But one thing about making mistakes is that makes it a feature. It was a living example of that story which I said a long time ago about the two bad bricks in the wall. Because when a person lays a wall like I did and you make a couple of mistakes in the wall, sometimes you want to hide them up or be embarrassed. But they become what we call a feature of the wall. That's what a builder told me. Don't worry when you make mistakes, because in the building industry, if they're building a house and you make a couple of mistakes, they call that a feature. No other house is like that. It's unique. And because it's a feature, they told me in confidence, but please don't tell me anything in confidence because I use it in my talks, and these talks get live streamed all over the place. So if it's any mistakes and it's a feature, they usually charge people much more money for it, and worth an extra couple of thousand, the builder said. So, because my calligraphy was unique, there is no such calligraphy like it in the world, or something. But it, I can't remember exactly how much it was auctioned for. What was the figure, Leha?
Definitely more than 10,000.
Sorry?
Definitely more than 10,000.
Oh, yeah. It was 20 something.
Yeah.
It's only for 10 minutes work. That's for the Buddhist Fellowship in Singapore to pay their bills and get some more places for them.
21,800
Singapore dollars just for a couple of lines on a piece of paper. Wow. So anyway, I told the fellow who actually got it, so just keep it. Because many things in this world, like tech stocks, go down in price. But actually, what it reminded me of, and maybe people can see it afterwards, because as soon as I saw what I was supposed to do, it looked like the Bitcoin sign, a B with actually two lines through it. But anyway, so that's what I get up to, serving other communities over in the world, looking after them. And sometimes, at the same time, just teaching a little bit, that it's okay not to be perfect. And in fact, if it is perfect, it's never worth as much. It's never just as relaxed, as peaceful, as selfless, and as fun as when you make mistakes. And I know there's a few of our Thai supporters here, and you may remember many years ago that when I first came here, before I first came here, I was actually fluent in Thai. So much so that Ajahn Chah would invite me to give talks or translate for him, and even me giving a talk by myself in Thai. But because you stay here for a long time, and you speak mostly English and a few other little languages as well, that, you know, it all gets sometimes mixed up and you get tired, and sometimes your pronunciation isn't quite correct. And because of that, I was hesitant when a big Thai group came here once and asked me to give a talk in Thai language. And I told them it's a long time since I gave a whole talk in Thai, but they really insisted. And so I am a very, very open-hearted monk and also an open-mouthed monk. So I decided to give the talk as best I could in Thai language. And I was so surprised after 20 minutes, only a short talk, 20 minutes, the whole audience were going, "Sadhu, wow, it's amazing." And I was so surprised that my Thai was still that good. And they said, "Oh, no, we're not amazed because you could speak Thai, because we thought it was in Pali." And that's the first time we've ever heard a talk in Pali. And so however much I thought I was getting somewhere, immediately I went right down. Oh. It meant they didn't understand a word of it. But nevertheless, it was good fun. And that's also just why, even with Ajahn Chah, who sometimes, you know, just, well, he could have taught us Thai, or he could have actually get some people to give us lessons in Thai, but I think he just enjoyed all the times we made mistakes, because it was funny. Just like the time when we had to ask for anything we needed, as a toothbrush or some toothpaste. And so when I went up to him to actually ask for some soap to wash, and he had to ask him, he couldn't, no storeroom there. And so I had to ask in Thai. And of course, I got it completely wrong, Because the word for tie, for soap, is sabu. And I said sapo. Very close, but in that sort of dialect up in the northeast, sapo meant pineapple. I remember Ajahn Chah's look on his face. Just know when he's very kind, but he's really quizzical. Now, what do you want pineapple for? And of course, when you can't explain yourself in the language that well, you know, you have to just, you know, just discuss it, you know, to wash. Now, Abnam, Song Nam. He never let me forget that. Every time, he was actually amazed, he said, to all the visitors, he said, oh, you know, these people in England, they're amazing, they're so advanced. They wash with pineapples over there. With a big laugh on his face. So sometimes that was the case that you make your teachers, you make one another very happy when you make mistakes and you laugh. And I always was taught that if I make a mistake and say something silly or by mistake or on purpose, sometimes I don't know, but I try my very best. But sometimes you say something a little bit silly. And then what happens is people laugh at you. Actually, they never laugh at you. Because I also enjoy the humor. I laugh as well. And it's a wonderful saying, that way the world never laughs at you. It only laughs with you. It's all right to make mistakes. It's all right not to be perfect. As I've often said about the trees in the forest, there's never a tree in the forest which is perfect. There's never a committee which is perfect, but they're pretty good. There's never a abbot who is perfect, but he's pretty good enough, isn't he? Please. But all those ideas is just the human condition. Being a human is we do make mistakes sometimes. But what is really important when we make mistakes is always to ask forgiveness, to say sorry. Because saying sorry, asking for forgiveness, accepting that, you know, that we will always do, say, maybe misinterpret things, and that can cause offense. It's not just right speech. You know, in Buddhism, right speech is one of the factors of the Eightfold Path. But it's not just right speech. If you look at even the seventh factor, right mindfulness, it also includes right listening. So we don't just talk to others, we also listen as well. And the right listening with mindfulness and kindness means that when we do hear something and somebody says something to us and we take it the wrong way, we always just give them the benefit of the doubt. Maybe they didn't mean that. Maybe they say something and we just didn't understand what they really meant. Ah, just old memories coming up. I remember just the first few months I was in northeast of Thailand, and it was the day when the monks would shave their hair every 2 months. You know, I don't know why my hair, it keeps on growing, growing, growing. When I visited my brother when I was in England and about 3 weeks ago, now he's going bald. And I said, just we got the wrong scalp. You don't need your hair, you need your hair, and it's bald, and I don't need my hair, and it keeps on growing. So I was really jealous of him. He didn't need to shave at all. But anyway, because we have to do our shaving every couple of weeks, I was just passing by the wash area, by the well, and Ajahn Sumedho was saying, he said, Bama Wangsa, would you mind shaving my hair for me? And I said, quite innocently, oh yeah, I'll give it a bash. And he said, no, I think I'll get somebody else. It was just London slang. Giving a bash doesn't mean I'm going to hit him on the head. He wouldn't do that to a senior monk. What it meant was to give it a try, give it a go, see the best you can do. That's what giving a bash would mean. But, you know, he didn't understand what I was saying. Because, you know, he's from the United States, and so, you know, I said give it a bash means just give it a try. But, you know, I always remember that and laugh at it afterwards. So, I wasn't going to bash up a senior monk, never the way. But anyway, so sometimes we always have to not just write speech, but write listening as well. Different words, different idioms, making sure we give people not just listen to the words and misinterpret them, but also just to be kind. So it's been, how long since the last New Year? Almost 12 months, 364 days. Was it not leap year this year, was it? No, couldn't be. 2018? No. So, 365 days since the last little ceremony. And what have you done by body, by speech, or by thoughts which might have irritated or upset the people you live with? Your darling wife, your hard-working husband, your children, your parents, your dog, your cat. Please include the animals, because animals have got amazing sort of sense of what's going on. All your monks, your nuns, your committee, your treasurer, your... what else is there? All the caretakers here, everybody, the security staff here, who actually... some of them actually like coming here. They don't tell the treasurer, otherwise you wouldn't need to pay them. So they enjoy coming. It's a nice place to come. So all those wonderful people who come here, sort of who help to serve. It's a nice time to actually, even though may have done things, said things or whatever, at the New Year time, it's a wonderful time to do a forgiveness to one another. I know that there was... In the retreat I was giving in Genting Highlands in the Chin Shui Caves, one of the organisers there, the volunteers, they brought in their brother who just got married, for a quick blessing. Even though it was supposed to be just on a retreat, they sort of said, would you mind actually giving my brother and his new wife a little bit of advice? And because it was in Malaysia, in the most of the people from the Klang Valley, that's around KL, that from that area, and I just did mention that some years ago that I performed a celebrity wedding in Malacca, and it was featured in one of the glossy magazines. I think it was in New Idea or... Because each of these like glossy magazines with celebrities in, they have their own dishes in Malaysia, edition of New Idea or... I don't know what those glossy magazines. I'm really out of my depth in glossy magazines. So, except for the Buddhist Society of West Australia newsletter, which is coming out soon, which is not that glossy, but it's very... What it lacks in glossiness, it makes up in content and hard work. Is Nicholas here? Oh, there he is. It makes up in content, doesn't it? Is it glossy this time?
Yes,
front cover is glossy magazine. So but anyway, the in that magazine, the TV star was a lady called Zandria Wee. Do you know her? She had her own TV show somewhere anyway, but it was celebrity enough that most people knew her. And still, even about 6 months ago, she sent an email to me saying that, and that was actually featured in the glossy magazine 7 years ago when she got married. She said so much stuff which she learned, from the wedding ceremony that just keeps her marriage together. She always said that, and even her husband said, when we argue, it's like we don't love each other anymore. That's what it feels like. But they learned how to ask forgiveness every year. And they keep on doing that. Every year they say, on the anniversary, they come together, they exchange a small gift, and they always do a private forgiveness ceremony. Whatever we've done by body, speech or mind, intentional or unintentional, or things we didn't do, which we should have done, which we forgot, and or things that which are what's the other one? Yeah, by we should have done, we didn't do, or by accident, then we ask forgiveness of one another. And what I read in the suttas, when I read that in the Buddha's teachings, they always said if someone asks forgiveness, you should always give it to them. Interesting little statement. Because if they come up and they're just humble enough and letting go enough to say, no, please forgive me, then you should do that. And that's actually that what this celebrity wedding girl keeps on doing every year. With her and her husband, they always ask forgiveness. And otherwise, just bad events or bad feelings keep going on year after year after year. And that actually is sometimes what really upsets one another. There always, I heard this story that when we shout at one another, why do we shout at one another? This is like we're so distant we have to raise our voices to be heard. Just like when we're a long way away. If someone was over the park and I had to bring attention that, you know, there's a car or there's something I need to talk to them about, you have to shout in order to be heard if they're a long distance away. But when they're right next to you, why do you need to shout? Psychologically, it's as if you are distant from them. But when you are close, you don't need shouting, only just whispers even. And that's nothing to do with the space between your mouth and their ears. Everything to do with the psychological separation of somebody who's distant from you. So it's not just the right speech, it's also right listening as well, right hearing. In other words, that you listen to what they say. You open not just the doors of your heart, you open the doors of your ears. So you can actually listen to what people are saying. And so little things like that do help. You know, when one starts off in any relationship, in a marriage or in any family, in a community, to really give people the benefit of the doubt, to forgive, not to be a prosecutor, but always to be a defendant. To be a defense attorney. Try and get people off the hook rather than looking at ways to prosecute them. So that's one of the reasons why at New Year's is one of the great times to ask forgiveness of anything which you have done, which anybody has done by body, speech or mind which might have offended you. One of the other times that we do forgiveness ceremonies, marriages, but also even at funerals, because I too remember my father, that there's much unfinished business, and that unfinished business was not allowed to be completed because he passed away when I was only 16. And there's lots of things which I would have loved to be able to help him with or convey to him or ask forgiveness for. But then I remembered that you don't have to do it face to face. That sometimes just thinking of him was enough. And just asking forgiveness of him. Just softening that mind up. Being kind. And just realizing that everybody in this world has their faults, their defects. Two fabrics in a wall. The marks on the tree. The twists in the branches. They all make life delicious, beautiful, delightful. So that's an important part of our forgiveness ceremony. So, great time on New Year's. Old year gone, new year come. I know it's only, you know, as a scientist it took me a long time to realise. It's just, you know, the earth going around the sun. So, you know, where does it start? Where does it stop? It's only conventions. It's only one way of thinking, the new year and the old year. You know, when I earlier just did this upside down quiz, just to get people having a little bit of fun and games together and a bit of fellowship and joining together. I do remember in a shop, I think in Charles Street in North Perth, years ago, there was a map of the world. And then in a map of the world, why is it that usually Europe is top and central And poor Australia and New Zealand is tucked away at a corner. And that is like psychologically devastating for the self-respect of those in this part of the world. So this particular map had it turned the other way. So Australia was in the down under, that United States, Europe and Russia were down under. Interesting concept, and had Australia right in the top next to New Zealand, taking pride of place in the centre and in the top. Obviously it looked the other way round. Darwin is at the bottom of the continent, and Adelaide was at the top because it was inverted. But I thought, what a wonderful way of actually having an alternative way of looking at this world in which we live. Putting Australia in the top centre with New Zealand and other stuff upside down. Of course, why did you start that? Of course, you know, people from South Africa would have South Africa right at top centre. Opposite way around, of course. You know, the Cape Town would be the very top of the world, or top north, and I suppose Egypt and that part would be down the bottom. Well, I think it would be in the middle, wouldn't it, when you turn it upside down. Even here, that in our library, I think, was it last year, we had a clock which went the other way round. So instead of going clockwise, it went anti-clockwise. And I thought, what a great idea, because what it was doing is challenging your perceptions. You know, why do clocks always have to go instead of clockwise? You know, why can't they go the other way round? Only trouble was that no one could actually tell the time. So they always got it wrong, because they're so conditioned to having things go one way round. When it goes the other way round, it confuses too many people. I thought it was really cool. Because anyway, what is time anyway? Just a convention. And wouldn't it be wonderful to use timelessness? Well, it would be really good if the clock went backwards and we went back too. But somebody told me that sometimes in daylight saving, the clock goes back. Yay! So if the clock goes back, then you actually can fix up all the mistakes you did before. Is that possible? No, of course not. So anyway, the convention, New Year's coming soon, but that's our life. And it's a convention, but please, part of it, of kindness, of wisdom, to ask forgiveness of everything you've done or anyone else has done. So we're going to start the meditation now with a little forgiveness ceremony. Close our eyes, and then also with some peace, meditation, and a bit of loving kindness, and finishing off just before midnight with a loving kindness and chanting at midnight. So, if you would like to make yourself peaceful and comfortable, and with your eyes closed, first of all, it does help if your body is at peace before you try to make peace with one another and with the world. So to reconcile with your body by relaxing, being kind. How is your body right now? Do you need to adjust it to make it more comfortable? To bring this body to a state of ease and relaxation. Make peace with your body first, and then you can make peace with your mind. By making peace, not forcing it, not putting it in painful, sustained stress positions. Often teach that your body is like a set of guitar strings, tendons, muscles pulled on either end. And if they're pulled apart, that's called stress, strain. But if something hits it, bing, it resonates. But if it's loose on either end, whatever impacts of life fall on it, it doesn't respond. It's just so loose, it's got what we call resilience. When you are tired, stressed, like really struggling, it's like being pulled apart, and anything which hits you, really you overreact. It's called lack of resilience. So once your body is relaxed, now we can relax our mind. To let go of the past and let go of the future. Now is the time your future is being made. Now is the only time you have. So bring our attention just to this present moment. And if it's something from the past or the future which is bothering you, it's kindness which softens the past, which takes away the prickly, sharp fear of the future. And once the past and the future are softened, it's easy to let them go and be in this moment and be kind to this moment. And to assist, we can do the forgiveness ceremony. Each one of us, even the Buddha sometimes upset people unintentionally. But the time that we say to one another, if there's anything which I have done, said, or thought, which is what we mean by body, speech or mind, which has hurt, upset, made your life more difficult. Some of it intentional, some of it just being misunderstood. Or anything which I didn't do, which I should have done, by body, speech or mind. To say to one another that I am a human being, make mistakes, fallible. I'm not the Pope, neither are you. So we ask forgiveness. And again, when forgiveness is asked for, it should always be given. People trying to make amends, they will fail again, but if they don't ask forgiveness, there's nothing to work towards. There will be never any progress. And then you imagine everybody else, after you have asked forgiveness, you ask forgiveness, everybody else, especially those people you live with and associate with. And you can almost hear them say, whatever I have done by body, speech or mind, intentional or unintentional, which may have hurt, harmed or made your life difficult and troublesome, you can hear them say that they ask forgiveness too. Things they should have done but they didn't do, they ask forgiveness too. And always forgive them. So letting go, it's almost what the old Lang Syne means. So we do learn, let go, and improve in our quality of opening the door of our heart to the strengths and weaknesses of other beings. Understanding the mistakes, hurt, happen, but we don't want to take it away. Don't want to take it forward, sorry. We want to take it away so it doesn't go forward past this new year. Using this time as a skillful means to let go. Forgiveness is a choice. asking forgiveness is a choice. You can. And it's beneficial. It's better for everyone. This is what opening the door of your heart means. My father said to me when I was 13, however you turn out, my son, whether I, most parents might be embarrassed about you, ashamed or disappointed in you, or I'm really proud of you, whichever way it turns out, it's the same. You're my son, and the door of my heart will always be open to you. I never close it in front of you. And that's what you say to your friends, even enemies. I have to live with you. Forgiveness is a choice. And I choose. The much more courageous but beneficial way of forgiveness, of letting go. Anger, ill will separates. Forgiveness unites. So I told in my little speech to Her Excellency the President of Singapore that Singapore is not an island. The waters are what joins that country to others. We can look upon things which separate us as places where we can travel, like the great cargo ships of Singapore, going on those waters from place to place. I think our neighbours are way ahead of time. Maybe because we're Buddhist, traditional, we're not so fast going forward. So we make peace with this moment. Let it go. There's another 12, 13 minutes to midnight. I think these must be on Central Australia time. So just make the mind very peaceful. And all the energies, whatever energies and goodness which you have cultivated. We have a tradition in Buddhism of sharing our karma with others. Sometimes they call it sharing of merits. But this merit is our loving kindness. As we spread wider and wider to all our friends, our relations, our loved ones. First of all, in this hall, these are people, some of you know really, really well. Some maybe you've just met for the first time. It's one of the reasons why at that little party, one of the main goals is to get people to meet friends who they never normally meet together. Sometimes we just come with our family, we leave with our family. Splitting people up, mixing them up, helps widen our important circle of friends, our Kalyana Mitta, as they say in Pali. To do that, we widen our kindness. To all beings, there's many, such as the security guards outside, keeping your cars safe. May they be at peace, happy and well and safe. It's the loving kindness, the care goes even wider. Those people who have their own families sacrificing their new year to look after us. As you go past the odd neighbours and friends, I'm not going to judge you if you're getting drunk or making a noise. It's not the noise disturbs us. It's we who disturb the noise. As Ajahn Chah said. So we spread kindness, love, forgiveness, opening the door of our heart to the different traditions of our neighbours. Going wider to the whole northern suburbs of Perth. May all beings be at peace. Those beings sick, hurting, afraid. We bathe you in our loving kindness. We go further afield to the spreading over Australia, wider and deeper. Strange things with loving kindness is that the more you spread it wide, the stronger it becomes. It's not like you diluting it. Through expansion, it gets more intense, more powerful. And then to the whole of this planet Earth, as you spread this beautiful loving kindness, there are many, many people who don't even know that you're caring for them, but really need it. Throughout the whole world, many of your friends, loved ones, relations, and even enemies, where they are all living and existing. May all these people, my friends, even those I don't know, who don't know me, may they all be at peace. Know the release from the prison of the past when they can forgive and let go. To know that the future is always going to be an adventure, we let go of the fear, anxiety of what might happen. She gives beautiful kindness over the whole world. You can imagine it like a golden light coming from your heart, spreading out wider and wider, stronger and stronger. Imaginations, otherwise known as mental exercises, can have a huge powerful effect as they focus and channel the mind in the direction of spreading our merits, otherwise known as giving out loving kindness to people you know, people you've never met before. Spreading, encouraging, forgiving. May all beings be happy and well. May all beings forgive the past to look forward to making a better future. And to stay there with kindness, not forcing out the noise of party next door. Opening the door of your heart means embracing everything. With kindness, care. Then you find your mind becomes so loose, nothing is tight. You can feel some peace, some silence. There's an old saying which summarizes the Four Noble Truths. Suffering is asking from this world what it can never give you. Understanding that, we never fight the world. We make peace with the world. And as we make peace, we can learn from one another. When we're at war, we're too afraid, too angry to listen. May I be happy and well. May all beings be happy and well. I'm going to be quiet for 3 or 4 minutes. Once the clock ticks over to midnight, keep your eyes closed as I give the final blessing in about 5 minutes' time. Nothing there, still ahead. Another minute and a half. I hear fireworks in the distance. That must be coming from Adelaide. So I'm now going to give the blessing for 2019. Keep your eyes closed to receive the full power. Sabha Buddha Nubhavena Sabha Dhamma Nubhavena Sabha Sangha Nubhavena Buddha Ratanang Dhamma Ratanang Sangha Ratanang Tinang Ratanang Anubhavena Chatura Siti Sahasa Dhamma Kanda Nubhavena Pitakataya Nubhavena Jinasavaka Nubhavena Sabete Roga Sabete Vaya Sabete Antaraya Sabete Upadava Sabete Dunimita Sabete Avamangala Vinasantu Vayuvadako Dhanavadako Sirivadako Yasavadako Balavadako Vanavadako Sukhavadako Hotu Sabada Dukha Roga Bhaya Vera Sotu Sata Chupadava Anekantaraya Piwina Santu Chate Jasa Jaya Siddhi Dhanang Labhang Soti Bhagayang Sukhang Balang Siri Ayu Chawano Chabogang Wudi Chayasa Wasa Tawasa Chayu Chativa Siddhi Vawantute Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. And Happy New Year, everybody. So, now you can turn around to the people next to you and wish them all Happy New Year. Have a wonderful time. Happy New Year. Very good. And to everybody else, may you all be well and happy. And to drive safely back when you have the time. I'm not going to drive safely back tonight. I'm just going to crawl back into my bedroom and go to sleep. I only arrived back this afternoon. So anyway, Happy New Year, everybody. And hope to see you around for the next few days, wherever. Very good.